from KQED.
While folks in Copenhagen continue to wrestle with what to do about global warming, we feature the second of a two-part exploration of carbon capture, taking carbon emitted by industrial activity and pumping it back into the ground. Lauren Summer has more as part of our series Climate Watch.
If you want to understand how to store CO2 deep underground, the best place to start may be your kitchen sink. That soggy sponge I'm using to wash the dishes, well, it has holes in it which trap the water. It's the same idea with the rocks that would store CO2 far below the surface.
So if you picture a sand being pushed together and compacted, one can imagine there are still little pore spaces in those rocks. And they're really, really tiny, but they're there. And that's where we would store carbon dioxide.
Sally Benson is a professor of energy resources engineering at Stanford University. In 2005, she was part of a UN research team that added up all those tiny spaces worldwide to see how much storage there is.
And it turns out it's really a lot. There's at least sort of 100 years worth of storage capacity of all of the emissions that we do from fossil fuels.
A handful of power plants around the world are already using that storage space by siphoning off their CO2 emissions and injecting the compressed gas underground. It's a strategy that many of the countries meeting in Copenhagen this week are eager to pursue. But Benson says the technology has its detractors.
I think that the more serious concern is the potential impacts to groundwater.
Benson says some worry that the carbon could leach out of the rock that's supposed to be holding it.
The CO2 itself escaped into a groundwater system. It could basically be no big deal, like Perrier water. Actually, that's what Perrier water is groundwater with carbon dioxide in it. However, if you have certain types of rocks, it could react with those rocks and it could dissolve arsenic or other potentially hazardous conditions.
Careful siting and monitoring might prevent that. But carbon capture and storage, or CCS, has one more strike against it. It uses a lot of energy.
Well, I'm still skeptical about it.
That's politician turned climate activist Al Gore.
A standard coal-fired generating plant would have to divert one-third of the electricity it now produces and sells just to power the carbon capture and sequestration process.
The Department of Energy is trying to help with the cost by setting aside more than $3 billion in stimulus funding to help get projects off the ground, including two in California. Both the U.S. and China are pursuing CCS aggressively, but it could be decades before it's commercially feasible. But Sally Benson says when it comes to climate change, we'll need every technology in the book.
It's not the whole solution, but if we want to reduce emissions by 80% by, say, 2050, it's very difficult to imagine we can do this without carbon dioxide capture and storage.
And Benson says it just might prove to be a bonanza for California, even though the state has virtually no coal-fired power plants. It just happens that the geology of the Central Valley offers a huge carbon storage opportunity. And with the emissions cuts mandated in California's AB 32 law, it may be a technology the state needs. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Summer.
We've got more on carbon and Copenhagen at californiareport.org/climatewatch.